Hi, welcome to Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You channel podcast. This is Michelle. Thank you for being here today. We are a Whosoever Will channel, a Whosoever Will podcast. Why? Because God is a Whosoever Will God. What does that mean? That means that everything that God has done, He has done for the entirety of humanity. And so we have a standing invitation to join him in the work that he wants to do over, into, and through us, top to bottom, side to side, front to back, and head to toe. So we get to say yes to God because he's already made a way and provided himself along the way, given instruction for how to walk the way, and then provided him his spirit to guide us in the pathway. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, the life. I am the way. He's telling us who he is. And then he says, I knock. I'm knocking. Even now, he's knocking on the door of your heart if you have not yet received him. But what allows us to do that is that we humble ourselves. What allows us to accept the invitation, or at least to see the salvation, the goodness, the restoration, the joy, the peace, the love, the self-control, the forgiveness, the bearing with one another, is when we humble ourselves, we seek the Lord, we seek God, we turn from our own wicked ways, not try to list everybody else's. Then we pray, and guess what? Then God steps in, and he says he will heal our land. And guess what he starts with? Us, because we are his land. He's not just talking about communities and nations. He's not talking about objects. He's talking about us, the land of our soul, the land of our spirit. And then that moves into our environment, our physical, our natural environment. So whosoever will, if you are not yet a believer, my challenge, my encouragement for you today is to pivot according to the word of the Lord given to me late 2023. It's time to pivot out of cursing into blessing, out of death into life. Whosoever will. So if anyone ever tells you that God does not love you, they're lying to you, and they've been lying to you. If anyone else ever tells you that God did not die for you, what they're doing is they're calling God a liar. You don't have to argue with them. Let God deal with them. All of that being said, we are going to get into it today. The power of the crucifixion, the power of the crucifixion. It is Easter Eve, what we call Easter. It is Easter season, Lenten season, Easter Eve. And we're going to do what I call adventures in the scripture, a few adventures. So I'm going to read scripture, and then we're going to tie it all together. We're going to talk about ultimately and the overarching theme. So this is another, the theme is still, it's time to pivot or springboard out of cursing into blessing. The Lord wants to do a work, and he needs his people on board, not needs, desires for us to be on board, because we will reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow. We like to cast our seed off onto other people and think that that's going to accomplish something. Well, unless we do that by faith and in love, and if it's by faith, it must be by love. Why? Because faith works by love. You can't be in faith if you don't have love. And if you're loving, you are going to have faith. So you can't take your unwanted, nasty seed and try to throw it at other people, because ultimately you are still going to reap what you sow. So I'm already warmed up for this. Just a little, what I call warmed up anyway. Maybe not the same way you would think about it. But God has some things he wants to us to hear. He has some things that he's even said to me that before I started taking these notes today, I hadn't even thought about it in the way that he has shown it to me. So the power of the crucifixion on Easter Eve, the power of the crucifixion. I am going to go through some scriptures. I don't know if they're in order because I just started taking notes. As the Lord was speaking, had me go through the scripture, I took the notes. They're not in any specific order, but I'm going to tell you the general theme. The general theme is going to be about the flesh. Why? Because crucifixion is about the destruction of the flesh. So crucifixion was about the physical destruction of the flesh. He says, take up your cross and follow him. He's not telling us to go back and be crucified. He's saying, everything that's taking you away from me in your flesh, in your nature, I need you to destroy that. And the only way you can destroy it is through repentance. And then I step in and I bring forth the resurrection. I cause the destruction through the destruction of the flesh. And I'm talking about living sacrifice, oxymoron. So he says, I need you to be a living sacrifice. So we're going to talk about all of those things today, what it means, what all of this means, and why this is so significant, and why we struggle with it. I may not get to that part, but I'm going to start reading these scriptures. And then look, I'm saying we, because I have a general idea, like I usually do, of what direction we're going to go in. But, you know, the Lord, God is the Lord, and the Lord, he is God. And we are led of the Spirit, not of the flesh. So we're going to start reading. You're going to hear some pages turning. I'm already excited because I know God is bringing forth something, whether we agree with him or not. And the degree to which we are allowed to participate or benefit depends on the degree to which we agree. Why? Because two cannot walk together. This is a spiritual principle. It's not a saying. It's not a quote. It's a principle. Two cannot walk together except they agree. Spirit, soul, and body. So let's start with this. There is therefore now no condemnation. And I need you all to hear this, because there are a lot of people that claim to be believers, that claim to be scholars of the Bible, that claim to be religious, that claim to be Christian, who are putting people under condemnation. Understand, when you see the spirit of condemnation, that is not God at work. God did not give his life to condemn you, maybe to convict, right? And I mean to bring about the recognition. I don't mean convict as in you go into court. I mean convict of the fact that you need him. Convict of the fact that there are things in your life that you need resolved, that you need cured or healed, that you at least need to be aware of. But he does not condemn. So anyone that is condemning you is not operating in the spirit of God. I don't care what they're saying when their lips are moving. If you do not pick up love, the love of God, from what they're saying, then it is not in the spirit of God. Why? Because God is love. We're talking about the power of the crucifixion. God sent his son, his only begotten at the time, to die for all. All means all. All doesn't mean one thing on Monday and another thing on Saturday. All means all. So if anyone is telling any other human that they are not loved in any way, shape, or form, then that is not the spirit of God. Does that mean we are always going to agree? No, that's not what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean that we are neighbors, we are adjacent in our humanity, and that even if we are in different places in our cultures, our races, our religions, our beliefs, even if we are in different places, the love of God is big enough than all of that combined, so that we have to understand first and foremost that we are interdependent in terms of our humanity. We are neighbors not because I live down the street from you. We are neighbors because we are all in this process called life, and we are all human. And even if our circumstances and our situations don't look the same, in some way, shape, or form, we are all going through the same thing. Now, the difference is what we choose in the process and how we choose. Jesus says, I say this practically every time I record, I put before you life and death, therefore choose life. I believe that if we choose life more often, we will see less death, spirit, soul, and body. I'm not talking about funerals. I'm talking about the private process that destroys the work of the flesh so that the life of the spirit can flow out of us, through us, to other people, thereby making sure that every family, all families of the earth, in the earth, in humanity can be blessed. So Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He is not saying that the moment you get saved, that you are going to know all of this. He is saying once you hear it, you can't unhear it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. After you hear it, if you're listening right now, you will have a choice to make at some point in time. But he wants you to know that even in the process, he's not condemning you. As long as we have breath, as long as you have breath, and as long as I have breath, we have the opportunity to repent. Now, because God is all-knowing and all-seeing and everywhere at the same time and all-powerful, he already knows who's who and what's what. He knows who's going to say yes and who isn't. He knows if they say no today, when they're going to say yes. He knows if we say no, it's going to be a no. He knows who's going to say yes, 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 and yes. So just understand that. But God is not so small that he would need to condemn us or manipulate us in any way to cause us to believe in him. He created us to make choices. He says, now I have to show you the difference. Okay, so Romans 8:1. Everybody good? If you have any questions, you can put them in the comments below. I will do my best to answer those. Or the community can rally around. We're supposed to be helping each other. Love builds up. Okay, where are we going next? Philippians 3:3. So let's go to page turning. Philippians 3:3. For we, I could read this whole thing, but I'm not going to. I'm not supposed to right now. For we are the circumcision, spiritual, which worship God in the Spirit, by the Spirit, according to the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, Savior of the world, and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, so we're talking about the power of the crucifixion. When you hear the term flesh, you should automatically also hear crucifixion. For those of us who are religious or who have studied the Bible in any way, shape, or form, who have been in church all of our lives, been a part of what we call the organized Christianity in any denomination, any way, shape, or form, then we heard, take up your cross and follow me. He is not telling us to take up a physical cross. He's already done that. What he's saying is, if you believe in the sacrifice, the atonement that I made for you on the cross, the crucifixion symbolizes destruction of the flesh. Look it up. The practice symbolizes, the physical practice, what Christ went through, symbolizes the destruction of the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because we are walking according to the Spirit. That doesn't mean that we're not still in the flesh or some degree pulled by the flesh. All of the manipulation that happens is because of the flesh. The flesh is still trying to have its way. But he says, take up your cross, meaning put down those things in your own self that pull you away from me. Living sacrifice. Oxymoron. If you read the Old Testament, all the sacrifices, first of all, they were animals. But it was that was the precursor to the sacrifice. It says the blood of the animals could never accomplish. So the destruction of the flesh is necessary to walk according to the Spirit of God. No confidence in the flesh. And go back, please, and listen to Christmas at Easter when we talk about the power of the blood. I may go add that subtitle. Christmas at Easter. Okay, so this is Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision spiritual, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, Savior of the world. World is the people, earth is the planet, and have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is going to drop off. It's failing. Even when we think the flesh is strong, it's failing. But the spirit and soul are what have the capacity and what are designed to exist eternally in some form. That's why we have the Father in creation, Son in manifestation and demonstration, and Holy Spirit in transformation. What are we transforming to if there's nothing to be transformed? 1 Peter. First Peter, page turning. 1 Peter 4:2. So I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Yes. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, crucifixion. Remember, the title of this particular segment is The Power of the Crucifixion. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Seriously in need of healing. Verse 2, that he or them no longer should live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts thereof, but to the will of God. We have to be free from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. We have to be freer from the flesh in order to walk according to the Spirit. Why? Because the flesh is always at odds with the Spirit of God. Not the Spirit, not the flesh in someone else, yours, mine. We all have to deal with our own stuff. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, where you came from. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. That is not what God is talking about. He is saying that humans, all of you, have been born into an environment that is compromised by sin. So you have it, you're born into it. I am the way out or the way up out of that. And because of your carnal nature, humans, you don't even realize you need a savior. The power of the crucifixion, destroying the flesh. Meaning, there are things that we do that we just like to do. But they don't necessarily bring life to us or to anyone around us. That's why there's so much dysfunction. Just because we like to do things does not mean that they bear the seed of life, meaning edification to self and others, blessing to self and others. That we no longer should live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust thereof, but to the will of God. Next, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Turn page turning, and I'm announcing that because you're going to hear it. Unless there's a really good noise canceling, you're going to hear me turning pages. It's only because I'm in my, I told you all, I prefer to hold my Bible, to touch it, to interact with it. So 2 Corinthians 5:16, I am there now. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye no person after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What is the new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That is a spiritual statement. We're three-dimensional, spirit, soul, body. You see it in the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit. The Spirit of God runs through the whole thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's saying here is that, yes, we had the opportunity to walk with Christ when he was physically here, when the embodiment of God himself, both God and man in the same person, God and humans in the same person, representing the entirety of humanity. Why? Because if he didn't, God provided himself. So if he didn't represent the entirety of humanity, then his crucifixion would have been useless or in vain. Just as Adam in heaven on earth, Garden of Eden, which was heaven on earth, just as he represented the entirety of humanity, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, fixed what Adam broke. The difference is that we still have to make a choice. So Adam chose to disobey God. The way to reverse it is to choose to obey God. I need you to hear that again. We are created. God created us. I need you to hear this. God created us to make choices. At a certain age, when we are able, for our capacity and our faculty of choosing, when it is developed, if we have been under the right tutelage, right, caring guardianship, caring parents and support systems that help us to learn right from wrong, hot from cold. The stove is hot. We continue to touch it and then complain because we get burned. At that point in time when we know the difference and can make our own choices, having been given a sound foundation, then God knows what that place is and begins to hold us accountable for that. Now, God planned for all of this. He knew the beginning from the end from the beginning. There's nothing new under the sun. What does that mean? There's nothing new under the sun. We might think we're getting away with stuff. We're manipulating people. We're having our way. We're living the life. And he's saying, no, you're not. I saw you coming. That's why I did all of this. That's why all of this was necessary. So the way we got into the mess is the way to reverse it is to reverse the action, the power of the crucifixion. Adam was given the opportunity to oversee all of creation, along with his partner in the work, his wife, Eve. But before Eve was even pulled out of his rib, out of his heart, literally, the rib closest to the heart, he told him, he said, I've given you everything. I've given you actually more than what you need. Just don't touch that tree right there. Just don't touch it. Now, the challenge with us is that we are in a mess of our own making. Why? Because there are certain things, if we just listen and if we just obey, things wouldn't happen the way they did. So Adam decides, out of everything God gives, even including his very breath, he's going to touch the one thing. That's ego. That's ego. That's why ego does not serve us well. Ego has to be trained to serve us well. Ego has to be put down, be subject. That's what repentance is about. That's what humility is about. Okay, ego, I know you're going to try to rise up, but we're going to follow the will of God because we're going to get out of this mess. Out of everything God did, what does Adam do? He goes to the one thing he can't have. So he made the choice to disobey. In order to walk with God, we have to choose to obey. Humble yourself. seek the face of God. Repent from your wicked ways. Then pray. Come back into agreement, the invitation. That is only possible when we recognize the power of the destruction of the flesh that Jesus underwent on the cross that now applies to us spiritually if we believe, whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his what at the time, only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe will not perish or should not perish. Whosoever would believe should not perish but have everlasting life. He's not talking about if you believe, you're still not going. That's not what he's saying. He's saying he knows that there are some that won't, should not perish but have everlasting life. So he's saying, what my only begotten at the time, because now he is the firstborn, only begotten after his crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, Holy Spirit's poured out. Now he's the firstborn of many. That's why when you look at the Lord's Prayer, he's talking to the disciples. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. So the Lord's Prayer is a prophecy about the sonship, positional, spiritual position of sonship, not an exclusionary statement. The power of the crucifixion. So what we lost through disobedience, we have to reclaim or step back into by the Spirit through obedience. The power of the crucifixion. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye no one after the flesh. I mean, don't look at, you don't know me because you think you know me. Just because you think you know what I look like, what I'm going to wear, where I came from, what my complexion is, what my culture is, who my people are, that don't mean you know me, because this is going to fall away. You're going to know me by my fruit, just like the Lord said. Mm-mm. You know the tree by its fruit. Galatians 2, 16. Galatians, I'm page turning. Galatians 2, 16, the power of the crucifixion. Pivot out of cursing into blessing. Knowing that a human, a lot of this is man because of when it was written, how it was written, but I need you to remember that just because it was written that way does not mean it is exclusive. When you have challenges with that, unless it is a specific reference to a man in a gender context, understand that the distinction is God versus man or humans. God is not stupid. So if he says man, and he says God died for all, Jesus died for all, the distinction being made has nothing to do with gender so much as it does making the distinction between humans and deity. Hopefully that helps you. If not, ask the Lord to help you. He'll help you understand what is being said there. So Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man, human, is not justified by the works of the law. I don't care. Yes, we are supposed to be law-abiding citizens. Don't get me wrong, and don't try to manipulate the situation. We are supposed to be law-abiding citizens. But what he's saying is, from his perspective, that's not all it takes to be justified before him. We should be law-abiding is part of our fruit. Meaning, it is a result of something. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit first. Spirit illuminates soul, dictates behavior and speech. So I don't obey the law because I'm trying to, because I'm trying to prove something. I obey the law because it's a result of my belief in God. It's a result of something, not I'm trying to manipulate something. That may not make sense yet, but hopefully you'll get it. We are called to be self-controlled. So the ultimate form of law is to be controlled within ourselves, not to act on our lusts and emotions. That's what he's talking about. But in the meantime, Ten Commandments, the two greatest commandments, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength, and our neighbors and as ourselves. Which means if we are operating in love, a lot of the things that cause us to have issues with one another would not be happening. Okay. Knowing that a man, a person, is not justified, human, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, whosoever will, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There's the distinction. Again, what is crucifixion? Destruction of the flesh. No flesh shall glory in my presence. No one after the flesh. Are we getting the theme here? He's saying your works have to be the result of faith. And if they're by faith, they also have to be by love. Why? Because love or faith works by love. So our ability to operate in a way that is decent and holy in God's eyes is not based on only works, only what we do. We will do the right thing if we have the right belief, if we are grounded in Christ, if we are led of the Spirit, because God is love. He manifested his own Son. God so loved the world that he gave. And it would not be burdensome to us to love others in the way that we love Christ, or that he loved us, I should say. It's self-control. We are so busy not dealing with our own stuff that we want to blame everybody and make it everybody else's responsibility for the situations that we're in. Everybody who is of a certain age or process in their lives has the ability and the right to make choices. So anything that is happening, most things, I'm not going to say anything because we don't have control over everything. We have the ability, at least, to say, no, we're going to obey the Lord. Everybody has that opportunity. Every single person. So we can't, you know, then things happen and we say, well, where is God? And the Lord is like, I've been here the whole time. Where are you? You're operating according to the flesh. That's why these things are happening. And we don't get that. Why? Because we don't talk about it. We want to make something that is the realest thing. So the things that are seen were created by what is unseen. So we want to focus on the seen, thinking that we can accomplish what is unseen. We're being held accountable. Why? Because even the very breath we use to disagree with God, to deny him, is breath he gave us. So we have to decide. We have to choose God every day. Just like if we want a good relationship, you got to choose that person every day, every moment, because we're all still living and growing. Nobody's nailed this thing down, and the only person that did is saying, hey, I'm over here if you need me. All I need you to do is believe and say, you know what? I think I need a Savior. This flesh thing ain't working out. And I'm not talking about in the hereafter. I'm talking about in the here and now. On earth, or in earth, as it is in heaven. What do I mean by in earth? We're earthen vessels. So we need to be. It needs to be in the earth before it's on the earth. Next, where are we going? 1 Corinthians 8:3, the power of the resurrection. I just gave away tomorrow's title. But anyway, the power of the crucifixion. I'm turning pages. 1 Corinthians 8:3, the power of the crucifixion. Crucifixion means destruction of flesh. So the intent was to destroy Jesus. Let's be real. But when you understand the nature of his deity, the destruction of flesh is what brings forth life. Unless a seed fall into the ground and die, it cannot produce fruit. Oh, Lord, this is good. It's good to me anyway. Did I get that right? I don't think I got this right. This is not the scripture that I... we're going to come back to this one. So I was in... I thought it was 1 Corinthians 8:3. I'm not sure that's where I need to be here. Hold on a second. I'm going to check something. I'm going to go to my handy-dandy computer resource. Let me just make sure I'm in the right place. God is faithful who promised. And we're talking about the power of the crucifixion. Let's see what we have here. And then if this isn't what I think it is, then we'll move on. No, that's not what I... Okay, so we're moving on. 1 Corinthians 1. 25. Come on, Michelle. Nope. Oh, 29. I see. Never mind. I was writing so quickly that some of this, I'm having challenges reading my own handwriting, but I got it. Okay. So, again, we're just going through, taking a little adventure, a little walk through scripture, and we're keying on scriptures that refer to flesh and crucifixion. Why? Because crucifixion is the destruction of flesh. For Jesus Christ, it was literal. For us, it's spiritual. That no flesh shall glory in his presence. So there is like the physical body, which will fall off, but there's also the spirit of flesh. Understand that we're made of dirt. I mean, he dug into the clay, right? So this vessel, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But there is also a spirit that we were born into, or the environment, so being seriously in need of healing, the chronic affliction of humanity. That's flesh, the carnal nature, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. That's flesh. It's not just the skin we have on. If it was only about the skin, then there would not be the inference of the term living sacrifice. So what it's saying is that there are things we have to put down while we're still living, moving, and growing. In him we live and move and have our being. So this is not only talking about, as I said earlier, the hereafter. This is what we do right now dictates what happens in the hereafter. What we are talking about is what is happening right now. He doesn't need to say living sacrifice if the way that we overcome this is just by transitioning out and passing away. We wouldn't be having the conversation if that's how it's supposed to work. This has to be intentional deep work that we do, intentional choices that we make to walk with God, to agree with God through this process from birth to transition. It is a process. We think we know what the process is. We think we know what our time is. We think we know how much time we have, who we're supposed to meet, who we're supposed to be. We don't know. And if you've lived for any period of time, you know that even on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, hour-by-hour basis, your plans don't go the way you think they should. Things don't always turn out the way we think they should, or they don't go the way we think they should. That doesn't mean it's good or it's bad, but that is an indicator that we're not in control. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have order. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying to help one another get through the process. But living sacrifice has nothing to do with me being carried out in a box. What it has to do is me using my the skills, the ability, the talent, the elements of my soul, my emotion, to applying them to being obedient to God. Adam lost it through disobedience. We have to walk back into it through obedience. When we pass away, when we transition out of here, that gig is over. That's time for judgment. So, where are we now? That no flesh. It says no flesh. None of it. Spirit, soul, or body shall glory in his presence. Romans 3:20. The power, Lord God Almighty, of the crucifixion. I mean, this is, it's, when we think about it, when we take the time, let me stop for a second. When we really take the time and think about this and step outside of our paradigms of religion and all of that, this is really about the salvation of the entire human race. Think about someone that loves you enough to know you're upside down in it, to love you enough to give you the space and time to choose what you want to do, who also becomes teacher, the one who empowers you to save you out of that which they know you can't be saved otherwise, and then still says to you, but I'm going to let you make the choice. We get so wrapped up in the religious aspects. And I'm not saying we don't need those. Please don't ever say I said that. I never said it. And if it comes out of your mouth, it's a lie. What I'm saying is we get so stuck in the paradigm that we can't see the beauty of this process. Is it painful at times? You better believe it. But how many people do you have on a regular basis that really, truly just want to let you be? They will support you even in your bad choices. They will give to you without expectation of return. They will tell you they love you and that all they want is your best, is you to live, is you to grow. This is the God we have. This is the person. If we can step outside of the religious compartmentalization, he reached out and still reaches. As long as we're here, that's what's happening. God is reaching. Reaches out to every single one of us in some way to say, hey, I got you. But you got to choose me. I've already chosen you. You got to choose me. You got to choose me in order for this thing to work. And we get mad. We get upset because ego tells us, no, you got it. No, we haven't had it since the day Adam and Eve ate of the tree. That's what all of that was about. They lost it through disobedience. We have to step back into it through obedience. And the problem is we confuse being able to make choices with being disobedient, right? We think that being obedient means we don't get to make choices. No, you still have to make a choice. Every day you got to choose. It's a matter of what it is you and I truly desire for our lives and for the generations to come from a spiritual perspective, which is far greater than anything we can do here. What is it? The question that we have to ask is, why do we reject God when he's done all of this for us? What is it about the notion of God, the idea that he did this for us? What is it about that that we don't believe, that we reject him? Why do we reject him? Therefore, Romans 23:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. He's saying, if you basically, when he gave the Ten Commandments, which categorized the sins, 600 plus actions or activities under that, he says, if you can't do the whole law, you failed in the whole thing. So why are we still walking around thinking that we can do a certain thing because we didn't do this thing that you did? I'm better than you. What is that? He says, if you fail in one part, you fail in the whole thing. That means all of us at some point have failed. Why? Because everybody's told at least one lie. I don't care what color you call it. And the lie is the basis of all sin. There isn't a rating system in the kingdom. There are no grandchildren. Everybody comes in as a child of God. Everybody walks into sonship, those who choose it. That's a positional statement, not a gender-based statement. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. So in order for us to be adopted, we're adopted in the nature, in the image and likeness of God. Don't get it twisted. God knows what he's doing. He's not a fool and he's not stupid. There are specific reasons why he tells us to do things a certain way, and it's not to deny us pleasure. It's not to deny us enjoyment. But it's to purify those things in us that would bring death out of that instead of life. Pivot out of cursing into blessing. The power of the crucifixion. And I'm checking right now to see. I think we're finished. There are a few more scriptures that I can read, and maybe I will get to them another time. But understand, tie together. When you think about Easter, so yesterday was Good Friday, and so go back and read Christmas and Easter, the power of the blood, really. I need to add that subtitle. Christmas at Easter. I'm going to add the subtitle, the power of the blood. Today, we're talking about the power of the crucifixion, and I know that might be a little bit reversed, but so be it. You understand what I'm talking about. We have what we call Good Friday, the day we believe he was crucified. We have the shedding of his blood. The blood, the life is in the blood. That's the other scripture. That's another one of the scriptures. If you look it up, the life is in the blood. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important. That's where the life is, the Spirit of God. That's why he had to shed his blood, because in the shedding of his blood, he gave birth to the church. He gave birth to us, a rebirth. That's why we have to be born again. So go back and read that, Christmas at Easter, and read it. Listen to it. If there's a transcript, you can read it as well. But understand the power, the gravity, the weight. We don't have to be in tragedy and trauma all of the time. My belief, my sincere, wholehearted belief, is that the more we begin to walk according to the Spirit, we will see more life and less death and trauma and tragedy in this life. This isn't a game. This isn't a joke. This isn't something, oh, well, let me see, we can pontificate about. This is real stuff, and it applies to you individually to the extent that you choose it. Don't hide behind your church or your place of worship. This is you and God. I'm just sharing information. And for those of us that do believe or are trying to believe or seeking and or we don't know or we kind of in the middle or we don't really care, we come together to help each other work through this. We come together to walk each other through the process. God is faithful. We're not, but God is faithful. He's also not a human that he should lie. So why would we choose what we believe over what God said? Obedience is just agreeing with God. He's already got the thing worked out. That all the families of the earth, all of the human race would be blessed, even if we don't choose to be. He's made it possible for us to be. The power of the crucifixion is the destruction of flesh to the extent that the Spirit can rise. Spirit, first. And rise in a way that is empowering to us as individuals, but also edifying to our neighbors, those that we are adjacent to in our humanity. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is tied to our instruction to be living sacrifices. We are to take the atonement and cherish it in a way that we literally, within our own selves, I need you to be clear about this, not you are not putting down someone else's issues. You're dealing with your own. And you use the cross of Christ, the atonement that he accomplished on the cross. And you say, okay, these are the things I have to fight on in myself. It's that transfer and that exchange of power, not for us to abuse, but for us to yield. Humble yourself and you will be exalted. You can fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you and be crushed. Those are all scriptures. If my people, God says, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their own wicked ways, then pray, I will hear them. Some of us are praying, God ain't heard a prayer yet. Why? Because we haven't humbled ourselves. We're not really seeking him. We're just doing the act, the work of prayer. Not really praying out of a humbled heart. But understand the power of the crucifixion and how it is applied to our lives today to enable us by the Spirit to be a living sacrifice. I call it a MeBQ, because your hide should be burning all the time. You mean I got to stop? You mean I can't go off on this person? And it doesn't even have to be anything big. It can be a small thing. Right? Somebody says something to you off the cuff and you can't respond. Living sacrifice. Why? Because I have to let that flesh know in that moment, okay, we're gonna walk according to the Spirit. I have had the Lord check me because I said something out of turn. And I would walk away and he would say, no, we don't do that. Mm-mm. That's not how we do it. You don't win people with that. You win people with love, the same love that I gave you. That's living sacrifice. It's not that we stop being emotional, stop having feelings, stop having temptations. That's not what it is. It's what you do when you have them. What I do, what you do, what we do. But know this, that each one of us is supposed to be a living sacrifice. MeBQ. The sweet-smelling savor, it says, is what pleases the Lord. Flesh burning. Not literally, spiritually. Me taking my carnal nature and saying, uh-uh, this is going on the altar. What did the priest do? The priest monitored. They did a number of things, but one of the things they did was they took sacrifices and made sure they were always on the altar. So everybody walking around talking about they're a priest and king, you better be on the altar. You're a priest. You're overseeing the process of sacrifice in some way, but the sacrifice is you. Living sacrifice, oxymoron, because he's not saying, I need you to pass out of here. He's saying, I need this to happen now. I need you to allow my spirit to make the atonement that I accomplished real in your life. I need that manifestation to take place. Because when you come into agreement with me, I will meet you wherever you are, says the Lord. But we are not staying there. MeBQ. You may have gotten accustomed to doing things this way, but if you walk with me, we're going to walk through some things. MeBQ, living sacrifice. The power of the blood, the power of the crucifixion. And on the next segment, we'll talk about the power of the resurrection. Thank you for joining me. I agape you. I bless you and the entirety of your household. I pray that the fullness of you will know the fullness of God, the power of God in and through your life. now and always, so that his desire of every family, all the families of the earth being blessed, will be accomplished, and you will be a part of that. That I would be a part of it, that we would be a part of it. Please be sure to like, comment, share. It helps the work continue. And I'm grateful for each of you for the time that you've given, that you spend here. Continue to edify, encourage yourself in the Lord, but also be an encourager to others. This thing is not easy, but we got to get it straight. Pivot out of cursing into blessing, because the Lord is coming in a new and living way. Fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh oil. I love you and I appreciate you. I'll see you next time on Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit U Channel podcast. Bye-bye.